This is Out of School, a podcast at the intersection of technology and education. My name is Bradley Chambers. Frazier is out this week traveling here in the U.S., so we have a special guest this week. It's Rick Storrs from Minnesota. Rick, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
You and I have known each other for many, many years, but and the topic that I want to talk about today and focus on is really the customer service aspect of working in education. It's something that 10 years ago or when I was in school, never thought about. But I think in some ways, due to the way communications has evolved, that's become more of a forefront in a lot of parents' minds. So that's really the reason I brought you on here, because you and I both have kind of similar backgrounds prior to coming into education. So tell the listeners a little bit about how what you did before you came into education.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's a good question. So I have a lot of experience just in general IT sort of stuff. I started in technology shortly after college working at an Apple retail store. And that was in Chicago. And I worked Apple retail from about 2005 to 2010 or so. So saw the release of the original iPhone, the release of the original iPad, and it was cool. And I can go into more detail, if you want. But after that, by this point, around 2008 or so, I moved down to Alabama for graduate school and started working at the Apple retail store down there. But then after a couple years, any retail employee will be this will ring familiar to them. But I was constantly being asked by guests to the store, like, "Hey, would you come home and help set this up for me?" And things like that. And I have to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. That's conflict of interest. Blah blah blah. But one day, I just decided to take the risk and start my own consulting company, and so did that. That was in 2010, and so then. The way I pitched it was that I essentially was doing what I had always been doing in Apple retail for the last 5 years, but now just within the quiet and comfort of people's homes. And it was a lot of fun. It was financially rewarding, and I felt like I got to develop relationships with people in a much more personal way that you wouldn't necessarily get in a retail environment. And so, if you want, we could dive into some of the customer service aspects of that. And then in 2014, my wife and I, we moved from Alabama up to Minneapolis, Minnesota, just because we wanted to be close to family and all that good stuff. But we did something really, really stupid. We moved up here without actually having a job lined up. And I didn't really want to start my consulting company from scratch. In a town where we really didn't know the tech community. It's not like the last time I started a company where I was leaving retail. And so here, I was looking at schools and thought it'd be really neat to kind of do IT at a school, and found a job listing that fit my personality pretty well. And I was like, gosh, that'd be pretty sweet. And long story short, it worked out. And so I'm now at a school up here in the Twin Cities, and my kids are here, and I'm going on we just wrapped up my second year at the school, so which feels really good having that under my belt. But that's kind of a quick jog through my history.
Yeah, so I kind of have a somewhat similar path into education. When I was in college, I worked at it's GameStop now, but I worked, it was at EB Games, and that's mm-hmm. So I worked at EB Games, and it's funny that they're now owned by GameStop, because that was our arch rival back in the day. It's sure. kind of crazy. And what's funny is that so GameStop bought EB Games, and then GameStop bought Simply Mac, which is one of the largest, third-party Apple retailer in the country. Yeah. And then they bought here in Tennessee, there was a locally owned Mac resale store called Mac Authority. So Simply Mac bought them. And so what's funny is the people that it's just kind of crazy, because a friend of mine worked for GameStop when he was in college, and he was working at Mac Authority at the time. And so when they put him back into the system at Simply Mac, He had like a his employee information was like really different. Like his employee ID number was really different than everybody else because he's already in the system.
Right, right.
And so it's just kind of crazy. But yeah, so I worked there in college. I think my last day was the day that Halo 2 launched. So I worked there from like 02 to 04. Prior to that, I worked at a golf store, oddly enough. That was like my summer job after high school. Mm. And then I started working for an independent telephone company here in Chattanooga. In the North Georgia area. And so I did tech support on the phone for a period of time. And then I did outside sales as well to businesses. And so like my whole life has been like customer service, like dealing with the public. Yeah. And so when I came into education, I kind of brought that mentality with me of like, and especially in private schools, because your people are paying something to you that they are paying for something that they actually get for free or taxes subsidized for free. And so it's a different environment. More of, I guess, your opinion, but like, do you think that private and public schools feel differently about customer service? And does it matter? Because in a private school, parents are directly paying our salaries, but in a public school, they're indirectly. Do you think people, like parents, like if you guys have parents coming in from public schools, do they perceive it different, or are they like amazed by the level of service you guys give?
Yeah, that's really good. It definitely is depends on the perspective of or it depends who you're talking to, I think, because if I'm having a conversation with a parent, I'm going to talk about this community in a different way than if I was talking to a student or a board member or someone else. And I push back on the idea of parents being the ultimate authority on what I am doing, like with my role here at the school, because yes, the money is coming from them, but there's also a lot of other voices that are here. I have to honor my boss, you know, and her voice. I have to honor our faith tradition of this school. I have to honor state standards that we have, our board of directors, and you know, we also have to listen to the experience of the rest of the faculty that are here. So, you know, I've been in conversations before where a parent maybe didn't like or wasn't aligned with me. We'll just say it that way. Wasn't aligned with me in terms of something that I was doing. And, you know, some of the mindset, and sometimes it even comes out in conversations, you may have come across this, is, you know, we're paying the bill here. And so, you know, the customer's always right, and this is what we want. I agree with that to a degree, but ultimately, this is an educational community, and my responsibility is to try to foster the culture here, specifically the culture as it relates to technology. And you know, we listen to a lot of voices, not just one parent who's cranky about one thing. But we listen to a lot of voices and when we make our decisions. And so that's kind of my customer service there. Because I think the customer in the school, I think it's the student. Because it's what, even though the student him or herself isn't paying the bill, the parents are, you really want to be providing the best experience for the student. And that directly relates to the goal of the school. But I'll pause there. Does that kind of
I agree with that. You know, I think I would perceive the differences between public and private is the ability to meet with decision makers. So a lot of things in public are determined at the state level,
right?
If not the federal level, and so, and I always say that we're more of a speedboat, being a small private school. So like if we need to do something, we can do it quickly.
Oh yeah.
And if we see something we need to change, and it's for the betterment of the school, we can do it quickly. Where at a public school, they may not, even if they agree, they may not have that flexibility to immediately take action. Like if it's a curriculum issue.
Right, and that's been a dream here. That's one of the things that I really like is the flexibility of this organization in comparison to like a public school setting. You know, for example, we changed the testing. I'm not even sure what category to call it, but just the testing services for measuring kids' math and whatever. Like we switched which company we use for that, and that was, you know, we didn't need to clear that with some, you know, office, you know, downtown or whatever. Or like adopting Casper Suite. Like I made the case for it and, you know, made a little presentation for it, convinced the folks in the room, and within a week was up and running with it, you know? So that kind of nimbleness, I think, is really, really attractive to this kind of environment,
Well,
or
and
to me at least.
I equate it more that we can operate in some ways like a business.
Yeah.
If it makes sense and you have the money, we can do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chris, we still, I think, and Fraser and I are going to do a show about this later this summer. Is like we actually still take advantage of E-rate funding, so we still get some federal funding for technology.
Oh, cool.
That doesn't like, that doesn't change our governance. Like we're governed. We have a very we, our board is actually incredible. So we have a head of school, assistant head of school, and a board of trustees, and
Yeah.
then our school is really a part legally separate from a church, but it's a part of it. Like from a same building as a church, and also like a certain percent of our board members have to be church members.
Oh, sure.
So it's really a, if anything, it's a self-sustaining ministry of the church, if you kind of want to get down to kind of its original mission. But yeah, our rule of thumb here is, I mean, and we're very receptive to like ideas parents have. Like, and our headmaster has an open door policy, and I don't think that's that way at every school, even all private schools. Like, I would dare say that there are probably 20 to 30% of our families that have our headmaster's like cell phone number and could text him and get
Wow.
and then it's like it's a very it's a family. Like we view our school as like as a family as much as anything. And I think part of that is that we're a K-5. And so it's just
Oh, yeah.
it is a different environment in a K-5 only because when you're a K-12, a lot of the focus sometimes ends up on the high school, just because of
Yeah,
it's just
right.
the natural part of it. But for us, like in Chattanooga, there's a few K-12 schools, and then but a lot of them are we have K-5 schools and then 6 through 12 schools. So there's kind of that natural segue from elementary to then to middle and high school.
Yeah, that's interesting. For us, our school has two campuses. On one campus is the high school, and then at the campus where I am, it's K-8. And so we have the lower school and then the middle school here.
Yeah, and I kind of grew up in Nashville, Tennessee. They have a lot of, I believe it's K-6, and then they'll do 7 through 12 too. So it's like it just depends on kind of the region you're at
Yeah, that's how I grew up.
how those are broken up. Let's take a minute and thank our first sponsor for tonight. It's the great folks at XMA. XMA is an Apple solution expert for education, and they're perfectly positioned to support your institution with the deployments of iPads and Macs. They have over 30 years of experience, and they've created the unique All Learn program for iPad and Mac. So what is the All Learn program? If you need help with planning, financing, and managing your Mac and iPad deployments, XMA can help you with that. They use accredited trainers to have Apple professional development workshops for your teachers and staff to ensure like you're really getting your bang for your buck with your deployment. So again, if you need help with your deployments, this is who you want to call. It's XMA and their All Learn program. So learn more about them at xma.co.uk/out-of-school, and that's a special link. Lets them know that you came to them from our show, or follow them on Twitter at @WeAreXMA. So again, thanks to XMA and the All Learn program for Apple devices for sponsoring Out of School this week. So yeah, it's our kind of my rule is I want to treat our parents like I want to wow them. I want our
Yeah.
school to provide such a level of customer service, and not in a way like that the customer's always right. We're not selling widgets.
Right,
We're not selling
right.
car parts, and the customer's always right. But we do what's best for the students and what's best for our school, and sometimes that's not always what the parents necessarily want. But we do
Exactly,
what's best for our school. But we want to be, and we hear this routinely, when parents go on to middle school, we want them to be like to notice that man, you know, Brainerd Baptist School provided such a level of customer service and was, you know, communicated so well. Things going on in the school that, like, we miss that. Like, that's what we want.
Yeah.
And in some ways, like, it's really, really easy to do that, but it's also really, really hard. And it really depends on your personality. And this, for us, is like a top-down approach. Like, our headmaster, again, is very available to parents. He does, like, the... You know, we don't have a director of admissions, for example. Like, he does all the admissions.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, every parent, if there's one thing we do well, it's admissions. He has a private meeting with parents one-on-one and takes them for the personal tour of the school, answers any questions they have. Like, we don't do group tours at all. And those are all fine, but this is the approach that we found works best for us, especially at the elementary level. Because, again, you have a lot of parents, like, you know, if their kids are coming in our K-4 programs, like, this may be the first time they're away from home for any significant period of time during the day. And so we have a really kind of hands-on approach. But, again, I mean, they're meeting directly with the headmaster and I'll say he pretty much knows every student's name by November every year.
Yeah,
that's cool. But as a parent, if someone knows my kid's name, like, that means something to me.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, I help out with drop off for our, you know, when I say upper school, I mean third through fifth at our school. So it's just, it really depends on the context of your school.
Yeah.
But, like, I see the same kids every day, see the same parents. You get to know them. You talk to them.
Absolutely.
That matters. And, like, I had multiple parents tell me, like, the highlight of their day was you tell them good morning every morning. And again, I don't say that to, like, brag on myself, but to reiterate, like, the value of relationships. So much in our schools have changed over the years with curriculum, technology, how the laws are set up. But the difference is people don't change. And so, like, did you ever watch The Office, that TV show?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So there was that episode where, if you haven't watched this, it's on Netflix, people that are listening. It's the U.S. version of The Office, where Michael and Ryan are going at Ryan's business school. And Ryan is talking about how Dunder Mifflin will be out of business in 5 years, et cetera, et cetera. Then Michael kind of jabs him, saying, Ryan's never made a sale. And so he gets back to the office, and Ryan says, look, you don't have to fire me. Like, please don't fire me. He said, I'm not firing you, Ryan. You're moving to the annex. But he said, and again, Michael Scott, the character, was in some ways a moron. But he would have these, like, brilliant managerial and leadership, you know, zingers over the – I mean, they're probably 10 over, like, the 9 seasons. But
He said,
a great manager hires people. He doesn't fire people. He inspires people. He said, people, Ryan. People never go out of business. And that is so stinking true. And that's applicable to, gosh, any job you have, whether it's retail, whether it's warehouse, whether it's schools, whether it's, you know, restaurants. Like, it's about your people.
Totally.
And if you hire great people and you invest in them, and then they in turn take care of your customers and treat them with respect and love on them and get to invest in them. That matters, and I'm seeing that more now than, you know, now that I have kids at our school. I see, like, our teachers investing in them, getting to know them, getting to know us as a family. Like, that matters to me. Like, it's less like, you know, it's like someone is coming alongside our family to help educate our child, and they're helping us. And gosh, it just gives you the warm and fuzzies, which is important when people are, especially in private schools, when they're spending, you know, a decent amount of money to send their kids to school there. Like, you want them to value it and to see that you love their families. And we genuinely do. Like, we have there will be parents I'll get to know. I will be good friends with them by the time their kids are, you know, graduate, because they will be here. Like, one of my good friends, his daughter graduated this year in fifth grade. And, like, I've gotten to know him over the past, like, 7 years that she's been here. Like,
totally.
We've been friends for 7 years, and I've seen him, you know, multiple times a week, more than I've actually seen some of my other friends day to day. And so you just become become a family, especially, like, when we have, you know, kids get sick, we have parent tragedies, parent dies, you know, sibling has illness, or even a student has an illness. We had a student years ago that came down with leukemia. Our school rallied around her. We sent the teacher to her home to give her private tutoring and to keep her on track. And, like, that's what we feel like our value is.
Totally.
And again, I'm not saying that, like, our school is unique in doing that. I'm just saying that, like, being the only school I've ever worked in, I know that we do that very, very well. And again, that goes back to the customer service aspect and making wowing people at your school. When it comes time to re-enroll every year, and then maybe think, well, maybe we should look at another school or a public school, you know, or even, and this has, I think, been key for us, is you're going to have issues over the years. Parents might be irritated at a teacher about something. If you've built up enough goodwill over the years, you're not going to lose a family over one situation generally.
Exactly. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. And I hope I wasn't giving off the impression earlier that I don't listen to parents. That's very far from the truth.
No. I understand what you're saying. Because again, yeah. There's a difference between listening versus 100% implementation. We will listen to any idea. Absolutely. Doors always open. Listen to any idea. But ultimately, you know, it's something if we say no, or we're not going to do it that way. It's not disrespectful. It's just we're doing what we feel is best for the students.
Exactly. And hopefully that no is accompanied with lots of rationale and lots of other voices. And hopefully you're able to at least convince the person, like, I'm doing this with positive intent. Like, I'm trying to improve this institution, our culture here. I think you're totally right, especially with like establishing a presence among the parent community. That's something that I try to do a ton, you know, because the way I see it is I'm in charge of this device that your student is carrying around with them everywhere they go, and they spend a lot of time using this device. And this device is sometimes a source of tension in your home. So I want you to know who I am, and I want you to feel like you can always pick up the phone and call me or shoot me an email. But also, like, stop me in the hallways. And, you know, before and after school, I'm sure for you guys is pretty busy, but we let parents come and pick up their kids from the classroom. And so our hallways are just they're just intense before and after school. And it's one of my favorite times just to, like, walk around and basically, like you said, like, hang out with my friends, because a lot of these parents, they're our friends. And I love that. I love that our kids are in the same classes with each other. I love that, you know, for a lot of them, I teach their kids in a couple classes. And, you know, so it kind of reminds me of sort of like building up relational credit with people. And, you know, you don't want your first interaction with someone to be something sour. You know, you want it to be good.
Totally agree.
Yeah, and so, you know, banking up on the good stuff makes it so much easier when you need to kind of pull a parent aside and be like, hey, I'm a little concerned about your kid. His grade seems to be slipping here or something like that. And the parent is totally going to listen to you and totally appreciate it. It's a lot of fun, I think. I think it's super rewarding being in a school environment, because it's not just technology, you know? Like, if I wanted just a tech job, I wouldn't be here, because I could make more money, you know, at another place than working at a private school. But I'm here because there's that relational element to it. And, you know, you're investing in kids, you're getting to know families more, and it's not this purely mechanical job description. Like, there's a lot of fun stuff that goes into it. And I kind of wanted to, you know, I think one of the things we wanted to talk about was, like, how does this customer service look sort of like on the ground? Because one thing that we do that I really like is we do a ton of parent workshops related to technology. I mean, we do a ton in general, but, you know, I'm obviously the one who's in charge of the tech workshops. And, you know, again, since we have middle school students that are all one-to-one, and then our iPad one-to-one program starts at fourth grade, so fourth through eight, they're all one-to-one. And a lot of our families, like, this is not a lot. There's several families where this is the first screen device that their child has. For some, this is the first sort of modern mobile device in the home, and they're just really nervous about this or apprehensive about it. And so we have workshops that we'll put on pretty regularly about just issues of of young children and their brain development and their ability to make decisions and filter their decisions and how that sort of unfolds as they're using a device. We do workshops on how parents can have, sort of filtering sort of stuff within their home. We have workshops on like social media. Like there was one where the workshop was basically like Instagram because like a lot of parents were like, my kids are on Instagram. I don't know what that means. And so we did a workshop and like most of the time it's just like, this is how you use Instagram. And, does that have immediate correlation to what's going on in the classroom? No. But what it is it's investing in our parent community on something that's really important to them. And I think that's – well, the response to that sort of stuff has been really good.
One of the things we did a few years ago, Clash of Clans, that game was kind of going through our school. And then we mm-hmm. were finding it like there's some inappropriate chat going on. Like kids are using foul language right. and stuff. And parents were concerned. And so our headmaster wrote a blog about it and said, hey, we actually had a clan that the kids could join. And we'd help monitor it. And at the end of the day, for us, it's just being a resource, like being available. Right. Like he had questions like, it's like I don't always know the answer. And for us, it may be like as simple as like, hey, and again, this is not something I do for everybody, but I had like a parent that came by and said, hey, if I take you to lunch, can I run you by my new house and you give me some suggestions on where I should place my Wi-Fi?
Right.
And it's
yeah.
like, absolutely.
Yep.
Like,
did that last week.
it's like, maybe I shouldn't do that. Like, and obviously, like if you're a school of like, 10,000 kids, you can't do that. But,
right.
parent comes by that, a parent's like always in the school, always stops in and says, hey, and it's like, yeah, I'd love to go to lunch anyways and just get to know your family a little bit better. But absolutely, you don't pay me for it. Like, that's just,
right.
It's the charity.
The way I phrased it is like, I'm doing this as a friend, not as an employee of the school.
Right. And that's how we want to be perceived, is like, we're your friends too. And we care about you guys. And one of the things that I think we do very well is like, we're just available. Like, talking about, our headmaster does drop off downstairs every morning for the lower school. And I'm always upstairs and we have teachers that are out there helping. It's just being there. Like, it mm-hmm. kind of matters. It's going to sound dumb. And to maybe if somebody listening that works outside of education, but like just being available, it's, right. I would say it's the equivalent to playing golf with clients.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Totally. Well, and with my freelance company that I did, in Alabama, it's called App Instructor, APP and then Instructor. That's what I think was my distinguishing characteristic is I was, one of the only consultants in town who could actually have a conversation with people and was nice to them and would ask them questions about their lives. And, my motto was always people first, then technology. And because you can step into someone's home and you can fix everything, but if you don't explain what you did and if you don't honor and acknowledge their frustration and see if there's any other concerns that they have and sort of address them on a personal level, if you don't do that, it doesn't matter that you fixed everything. Like, they're not happy and they don't have warm fuzzies about, how you just, touched all of their technology or whatever. Like, that, they don't like that. And I always left lots of time just to make sure that all of their questions were answered and all that sort of stuff. And it's amazing. I've joked about this with Patrick Roan, where with consulting, it seems like the only thing that you need to do to succeed is like show up on time and be a nice guy. If you do those two things, then your company is destined for greatness, or at least a bit of success. And that's true here too. Like when I'm working with a teacher, I'm there to make sure that their Mac connects to Wi-Fi, or that the projector's working or whatever. But like, I'm also going to kind of like schmooze the kids in the classroom a little bit and ask the teacher how she's doing, and stuff like that. And that stuff just goes a long way for them, but it also makes the job a lot more fun. Like I don't really want to be the kind of tech guy who just kind of hops in, flips a couple switches and then goes back and updates my tech request, like that's just not fun to me.
Yeah, I don't like that term, people first, technology second. Before we move on, let's thank our last sponsor of the night, the great folks at Jamp Software. You guys know Jamp. They provide the great mobile device management system, Casper Suite, for Mac, iOS, and Apple TV. So it's iPhones, iPads, Apple TVs, Macs. They do a lot with schools. They have a great app called Casper Focus as well. It allows teachers to kind of take control of their classroom experience from their iPad. Can't say enough good things about the Casper Suite. If you're rolling out Apple products this summer at your school, you definitely need to check them out. They have great support for Apple Classroom and Apple School Manager. Had day one support for all those features. And so, again, they have hosted and on-site options, so you can host it on your own campus, on Amazon EC2, Mac Mini Colo, or you can, again, use their actually cloud-hosted services, which is what I use as well. Now, which do you guys use, Rick?
You know, I would love to talk about that. I mean, maybe that's another show, but we've got a Mac Mini downstairs in our basement that's hosting it, and one of my summer tasks is actually to move our JSS to another Mac Mini, but... Yeah, I never, for some reason, it never even crossed my mind to go with cloud hosted, but I mean, our Mac Mini, I don't know, it just seems like it'd be a little more rock solid if it wasn't being hosted here in the building.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a, you know, there's theory behind that. Obviously, it's cheaper to host it yourself. I mean, you pay a little bit more to have it hosted. And my thought process was, I'm not good at things like that, like managing those kind of that kind of infrastructure. And so, right. I feel like one of my strengths is knowing what are not my strengths, mm-hmm. and that's not one of them. And I don't want to be spending my time doing that. And so, right. It wasn't that much more to go hosted. So it was like, let's just let them host it. And to me, that was like more of the future, anyways. Is just everything going
right. Hosted. Right.
So, we should definitely have you back on once Fraser and I get our new deployments up and running as well. I'm still waiting on my Apple School Manager invite.
Oh, yeah, me too, man. I check it daily.
thanks to Jamp for sponsoring the show this week. Learn more about them at jampsoftware.com. That's jamfsoftware.com. So one of the last thing I want to discuss today is communication strategy. What is, like, you know, schools have all kinds of information to get sent home. Do you guys have a structured program for communication to get sending things home to parents?
You know, our system is absolutely perfect and flawless, and I'm so proud of it. No, that's not true. I don't know anyone, like any school, who could say that. Ours, it's so difficult because if you're a parent, you know, your student has a lot of different teachers. You've got the classroom teacher at our school. We've got about five or six specialists. You know, that the parent could hear from. There's the principal you could hear from. I need to send out information sometimes. And it for us, it's one thing that we're looking at this summer, actually, is to kind of streamline our communication strategy. Because it seems like not each person, but there's like three or four different ways that I could reach out to parents. So, you know, we've got a list that's updated in our Google accounts, you know, so I could email fourth grade parents at our domain and it would send it out. We have this other, like our principal has like their weekly newsletter. And then like the classroom teachers, they do a weekly newsletter. So I just feel like we are bombarding families with emails. I think it's something that we could do a better job at, but I don't know what the answer is.
Well, yeah, we struggle with that too, because we probably over communicate in a way.
Yep.
But
yeah.
There's a part of that that you have to, because,
right.
and I feel differently about this now, as I have a lot of things now that I have kids here, because like I'm busy in my job. And so if I get emails about things in the classroom, like I have a tendency to think my wife's going to read it or skim it.
Oh, yeah.
Or think,
yep,
I'll read that later. And I don't.
I'm guilty of that.
And so there's a balance there. And one of the things that what we do is, and we're probably changing this up a little bit, is we kind of have Tuesdays our notes home day. So we kind of have a weekly newsletter that goes home every Tuesday. And all it is like there's a page on our website called Notes Home. And this is like school-wide stuff. And this is like the calendar for the week, like, or, you know, the calendar for the month, like what's coming up, important events. And then things parents need to be aware of that are like more general.
Right.
And then we also have our classroom overviews. And so this is grade specific. So there's a third grade overview, a fourth grade overview, and like any fine arts classes information. So if like our Bible class has something specific, they don't have a specific fine arts or a Bible newsletter. they have the third grade Bible information goes in the third grade overview. And so, but in reality, parents have two places to check. And then also, like in my son's K-4 class, we would get an email like on Saturday from the teacher kind of with pictures, and here's what we did for the week, and here's some things coming up. So I was really getting three things. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you which one I read every week was the one with the pictures in it.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, yep. I'm obviously going to save those. And so what we're looking at doing is kind of streamlining that, because what we have a tendency to do on the notes home is like something that's coming up like 2 months from now will be in there for 2 months. And like
right.
Because what it is like if someone's having an event, you know, planning something, they think like we got to, you know, promote the junk out of it, you know, for weeks. Well, when everybody feels like the way, everybody's promoting everything for long periods of time. And mm-hmm. so there's a timing aspect of that. And so we really only try to promote things like when they're coming up, like, you know, we'll have it on the calendar. Like, hey, important date, you know, 2 months from now,
yeah.
Muffins for Mom. But then as it gets closer, we'll start sharing more information. But what we're thinking about doing is taking that notes home information and actually putting it inside of the overviews. And so if there's fall festival information, it would be in the actual – so it's just one place for parents to check.
Right.
Instead of two. And so that's what we're probably considering. But then, again, there's a lot of that aspect of – like we hear from some parents, we over-communicate, and then we hear from some, they don't know about anything.
Oh, yeah.
And so
yeah.
You – but they're both sending the same thing. And I actually heard – I don't remember where I read it. I think it was on a blog. It said that they always time their school-wide emails to pick up when parents are in pickup line.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Like, assuming that, like, they're on their phone and stuff, I'm like, that is, like, that is genius. Like, it's great.
Really good.
And one of the things I've been really focused on, because I kind of have, being a small school, like, I kind of have my, I mean, any one day, I'm communications coordinator, enrollment counselor, director of IT. You know, it just depends on the day. Like, my job has really, like, when you see those, like, articles about, like, IT is now a business enabler, like, I mean, like, our headmaster like was like sent me one of those. I mean, it is true. Like, I mean, we do that. Like, I handle our school management system. I handle our Wi-Fi. I handle, you know, everything technology wise. I handle. But then I managed our online enrollment.
You're the media specialist.
I'm the media specialist. Like, I do it all, and I don't complain about that. It's like I'm happy to do all that, and it just shows you how IT has evolved from just like broke fix to more of school enablement
and strategies.
So, but obviously, you know, communications is kind of, and it's, we have a small administrative team, so we just kind of all have a hand in it. But my thing is, I want everything to be like Facebook status update short. So if we're talking about like the book fair, it needs to be something like, it almost needs to be able to fit in a tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's people's attention spans. Like, they're not going to read very, very long paragraphs about events. Like, just, like, hey, back to school bash is this date. It's this time. Click here to register. Like, that's all mm-hmm. they need to know.
Right.
And you can certainly have places where there's more information about it, but make that to be like where they jump off to.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, don't have a five paragraph or a, you know, two paragraph thing in an email. Make it very, very short. So that's something we're constantly evaluating as well. And I think it's just one of those things that's evolved over time.
Do you guys use an LMS, a learning management?
We don't. We do ever roll one out, I'm sure we'll probably use RenWebs. I bet it would probably be between. See, that would be the thing. It would be between like, they all make sense to us. Like, ITNG makes sense, Google Classroom makes sense in a way, and then RenWebs makes sense in a way.
Yeah.
And so if we ever came to wanting one, I would have to kind of evaluate all three, and that because there are aspects that are good about all of them for us.
Yeah, but, so we use one called Schoology. Have you heard of this?
Absolutely. Yeah, I did a demo of it. Nice product.
Yeah. So that's what we go with, and I really like it because it's mostly for distributing academic content. You've got your courses in there, but it also has parent accounts, and you know, through Schoology, our parents are receiving weekly grade updates about their kids, which is pretty sweet. I think it's cool. Some schools might think that that's a little too much information, but, you know, our community seems to like it. And I thought, like, what if we try to push as much stuff through that Schoology system? Because then our families only have one place to go. You know, it's all contained within an app. They might receive an email that basically says, go check Schoology, but that way they can check the Schoology calendar, they can check their students' grades, school, our school uses Schoology all the way from 4 through 12. So like all of our parents are on it. And when you said that you think things should just kind of fit within a tweet, that's what came to my mind, because with Schoology, like, you post updates basically. It's because it also has like this sort of Facebook, like, social network vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
You can create parent groups in there. They can create their own groups if you allow them to. And then just, you know, send communication only to those groups, you know, that sort of stuff. And it's a paradigm that people are pretty familiar with. You know, if you explain to parents, like, hey, this is like Facebook, you know, you go to Facebook to figure out what's going on with your friends, go to Schoology when you want to figure out what's going on with your school. So anyway, that's another thing we kind of throw into the mix.
Yeah, and that's really the large reason we would go with RenWeb, is because parents already have a RenWeb account. I mean, parents make one when they're in, you know, when they enroll. Like, that's part of the enrollment process, to create an account, and that's how they enroll. It's how they pay and how they sign the contract. So, that's one of the big things I like, is trying to integrate as much as possible. And the downside with that is, like, things aren't always, like, things that are integrated well are not always the best.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
But like, there's an aspect of, if people already log in and then we'll use it, and it's one less thing to have to manage, then maybe that makes it the best in a different way. Our school is kind of built around RenWeb. Over the years, we've gotten more and more, I guess, quote unquote, in bed with it, I guess is the term. They're actually doing it. We're redoing our school website, and they're doing it. They have a product.
Oh, wow.
They have a product called School Site that's very, very nice. And it integrates nicely with RenWeb's backend. So, like, for example, if I add a faculty member in RenWeb, it automatically syncs to our website.
Whoa.
Yeah. So there's...
That's slick. I thought you just redid your website a couple years ago.
We did. We redo it about every 2 years.
I'm shocked to hear that.
RenWeb is, and that's actually our headmaster's kind of driving force. He likes just the fresh coat of paint, and we keep the content updated constantly and new pictures and stuff, but we...
Actually, when we were talking about our website, redesigning ours, I actually pulled yours up, and I was like, I think this school does a great job at it. So now you're redoing it.
Well, and it's built on, our current one's built on WordPress, and WordPress is fine, but it's like one of those, it's a custom template.
Right.
It was a theme that was like heavily modified, and it's difficult to change things for me. Like, that's not my background.
Yeah, same.
And I love Square. Like, and if RenWeb's school site wasn't around, I would probably go with Squarespace. Mm-hmm. But I'm feeling good about RenWeb's future, and like their back end stuff has gotten very, very nice for us. And then their front end websites look very nice. They're responsive. They don't all look the same. As well, they have a lot of themes you can pick from. Then you customize them, but just like the, you know, and then they're going to scan our backend system, our backend, like, you know, parent web system to match that theme as well.
Cool.
Their iPhone app will be like, when a parent logs into our district from their iPhone app, it'll have that same theme. So it's pretty cool. And like, setup was, I mean, you can, they, I think like the design, they have options starting at like $700, goes up to like $7,000. But then we're choosing like the $1,700 theme with some customizations. And then the monthly fee for hosting is based on your enrollment. Like, I think we're going to be, like, ours is going to be like $120 a month. And so it's certainly more than you'd pay for like a Media Temple website. But then I also don't have to like handle, you know, with WordPress, I have to go in there and update it and things like that.
Right.
And there's some security aspects around WordPress that can be troublesome. But again, this has got some nice integration. My perfect example is adding a faculty member in RenWeb, puts them on the page. Like, easy.
Yeah, that's a killer feature. That's
yeah,
pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's, you know, I did the demo of it. We looked at Final Site. Final Site was really expensive, and it just was nice. I mean, again, we're using them for our SIS. We're using them for online enrollment. We're using them for re-enrollment. Their parent company, Fax, does our tuition billing. We use them for parent alert for, like, weather closings. It's like, you know, whatever. might as well use this, too. I mean, there's the more you can integrate, sometimes the better. Maybe it's not always the best, but what you get in integration is often worth it.
Yep. Yep.
So I think that's a good place to wrap it up for this week. Rick, tell folks where they can find you if they want to connect further.
Sure. You can find me on Twitter. What's my handle on Twitter? It's STWRZ. And then my personal website is paperbeatspixel.com. Or you can go to App Instructor, appinstructor.com. In fact, that's probably the best place to go, appinstructor.com.
We'll have links to that in the show notes, and we'll definitely have you back on later this summer as we all kind of wade through Apple School Manager together. So thanks everybody for listening this week. Fraser will be back next week, and this show will be out on Monday, and then this will be the week of WWDC. And so we'll have, for our Patreon subscribers, we will have a special kind of early episode as well. So if you want to learn more about how to support us on Patreon, you can go to outofschool.net. I'm Bradley Chambers. As I mentioned, my Twitter name is at Bradley Chambers, and you can connect with me on the web at chambersdaily.com. Have a great week, everybody.